Need the Lord's help this morning, so we'd appreciate your prayers. The Lord would speak to us through his word. I'd like to consider this morning the thought of being poured out. I want to start in Genesis, the 35th chapter, and just get a quick reference here. Genesis chapter 35, to begin. Begin in the ninth verse of Genesis 35. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be out of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to give to thee, I will give it. To thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel. You ever been in a place where the Lord's met you? I hope so. In a place of need in your life, Jacob was certainly in such a place, and much of Jacob's need was by his own doing. But Jacob was in a place where he really needed the Lord to meet him, and the Lord met him, spoke with him, gave him a promise, reaffirmed a covenant unto him. And you noticed his response to that. He didn't just take it lightly. He didn't move on and forget it. Lord, help us, those places where he comes and visits us and talks to us, shows himself to us in those places of life that we're in need. It can be so easy whenever the need passes and the storm is gone that we can forget about the place where the Lord met us and talked to us. But it says here of Jacob that after the Lord has spoken to him, he consecrated that place, erected a pillar of stone, and it says, first place I believe that such a practice is recorded in Scripture, it says that he poured out a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. This pillar of stone that he erected to commemorate, to honor, to consecrate the place that the Lord had met with him, and it said that he took of what he had there, and that the pillar, the altar that he erected, and he poured out a drink offering to the Lord in oil. That wasn't the last place that you see this practice, but this was something that rose from Jacob's heart and desire, and it seemed only fitting to him to offer something to the Lord. The idea of pouring out of what you have unto the Lord is something that I believe has a lot of meaning to it. It meant a lot to Jacob what he did there. We read in Exodus and in Numbers, we won't turn and read those, but how this practice was incorporated in the law of Moses and the offering of sacrifices and offerings to the Lord, that it accompanied the offerings that were given to the Lord. A drink offering that was poured out before the Lord, and they prescribed how much was to be poured out and given to the Lord. You know, whenever you pour something out, it's pretty hard to pour it back in. Unless you're pouring directly into another vessel and saving it to pour that back into a vessel. The idea of pouring something out is that this is a one-way action here. I am giving of this without the thought that it has to be returned to me. I am pouring it out unto the Lord as an offering, as a sacrifice, as an action of devotion to the Lord in service and worship unto him. I'd like to look now in 2 Samuel. I want to consider the actions of two or three different people throughout the Bible that I believe has this same idea attached to it. 2 Samuel, 23rd chapter. This from the life of David. The 23rd chapter of 2 Samuel. If you haven't read this in a while, go spend some time in this. It's a fascinating chapter and chronicle of some of the actions of David's mighty men. Well, what I'd like for us to look at is beginning in the 14th verse. 2 Samuel 23 and 14. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the city of David, city of his nativity or upbringing. And in that city, it said that at this time, that the Philistines had taken possession of Bethlehem. It wasn't the whole of the kingdom, but you can read how, especially in the early days of the kingdom, there was a whole lot of warfare with the Philistines. And at this time, as the garrison of the Philistines had taken possession and claimed the land of Bethlehem, it says in the 15th verse that David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." David's mind and thoughts went back to, no doubt, times that he in earlier times of his life had enjoyed the good water of that well of Bethlehem. And he didn't have, no doubt, the fresh water here as he was on the run and dispossessed of his own home place. He longed for it. There was a reminiscing, a thinking back on, a longing. Oh, I wish. What I wouldn't give for a drink of that water. I remember it was so good. If only I could have a drink of that now. It says that the three mighty men, notice in the chronicles here of the mighty men of David that the emphasis was never on David. David's part here was he had a longing, had a craving for that water, and it says that three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. You know, this wasn't a light matter. This wasn't a small task. They risked their lives. They went into this, no doubt, realizing and understanding that we're doing this at the peril of our lives. We may not make it back. What would drive a man to do something like that? Desperation for themselves? You know, I have to believe that it, in this case, was out of devotion and love for their king that drove David. Didn't demand it. He didn't tell him, it's that or you're going to lose your life. But these men heard and realized that their king had a craving, had a longing for the water of Bethlehem. And these three mighty men determined in themselves that if it's the last thing we do, we're going to go and get water for the king. I want to interject here. In what way do we serve the Lord? Do we serve the Lord out of a list of expectations, rules, and regulations, do's and don'ts? I've got to do this and I can't do that. You know, whenever love enters the equation, it changes the whole perspective of how we serve the Lord. It was love that motivated these men to do something that was seemingly reckless, that I think demanding it of them wouldn't have had the same result and effect. But these men, driven by love for their Lord and Master, were willing to risk their lives to please Him. Lord, help us to have that kind of love and devotion for our Lord. Lord, if I just have an inkling, Lord, if You just let me know, bring to my understanding and an awareness of what Your desire is for me, out of me and for my life, that You're pleased with this kind of thing. The Lord, if it's the last thing I'll do, that's what I want to do for You. Amen. It says that they went and drew water out of the well, and I don't know just how they went about it. Maybe they sneaked along and tried to find an entrance into it, but I kind of think there was determination in their eyes that there's nothing's going to stop us from getting water. And they went down, and sure enough, they drew it, and they brought it back, took it, and brought it to David. But I want us to notice what David did with it. It says, nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. You know, I've read this before, and it's seemed to me almost like, what a shame. What a waste. I wonder what those men thought. That I just went and risked my life. This is the most valuable, precious thing there is. Because we risked our lives to get it for you. Hear it? We're going to make sure we don't spill it, we don't lose it. Oh, King, here it is. And David was so moved by that. And realized that this wasn't just something out of their excess, that they risked their lives. This was the price of blood. And he wouldn't take it. He said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Mighty men indeed. But David's heart was, I'm not worthy of this. I am not worthy of that kind of honor and devotion. There is only one that is worthy of the price of men's blood. Lord, it's you. And what David did there, it wasn't out of lack of appreciation for what these men did. He didn't just count it as a little value and take it and just carelessly spill it on the ground. But it was of the utmost and the deepest appreciation and reverence that was given unto the Lord. Lord, you alone are worthy of this. And I'm going to pour this out as offering to you. Lord, I'm not worthy to drink it and to enjoy. I'm not worthy to satisfy the craving that kicked all of this off in the first place. Lord, it's you. You know, if we're driven alone by our cravings and impulses and desires of the flesh, will be led all over. But oh, he that can rule his own spirit is mightier than he that taketh a city. David was willing and felt it only fitting to turn. If they did this for me, Lord, the least I can do is do this for you. Lord, I consecrate this to you. And in that, consecrate the desire, the longings, and all that I had for it. Lord, that's secondary. That really doesn't matter now. I want to devote it all to you. Devotion. You know, people are devoted to a lot of different causes, interests. They devote themselves, give themselves to it. I'd like to read a little bit, maybe I'll read the most of it. You'll probably recognize whose words these are before I get very far. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives for that nation, that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. And here's where he was wrong. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. You remember what David asked whenever he went to check on how the battle was going with his brothers who were enlisted? They who were shrinking back in fear of the champion of the Philistines, he asked them, is there not here a cause? Is there not a cause worth fighting for? Have you lost sight of what the cause is? What are you here for anyway? You know there's a cause. What here Abraham Lincoln in just a few moments spoke about and has been remembered throughout the years is about a people who had just recently in conflict of the Civil War died by the thousands or tens of thousands on this battlefield. And here they gathered together saying that it's not our words that can really add much to this, but they, by giving their last full measure of devotion, in his way of thinking, they gave everything they had. They didn't just say it in words that they wanted to see this union preserved, but they showed it. They dedicated it. They consecrated this ground by the giving of their last full measure. Nothing more that they could give to this cause. And he, trying to inspire and encourage the crowd, may we from this dedicate ourselves to this work that is here not finished. Let us devote ourselves to it. Is there a cause in life? What do we give ourselves to? Again, people give themselves to a lot of things. They follow their passions, their interests, their pursuits, and a lot of things. But there is a noble cause. There is one that is worthy of us giving ourselves unto. A cause that is greater and transcends the cause of any nation, of any government. There is a cause of God that we are called to devote ourselves unto in our life. Mankind is accustomed and by nature will spend his life serving himself, fulfilling the interests and desires of me, of what I want. But there's a greater cause than that. For us to devote ourselves unto, to spend ourselves on. I'd like to look at Mark the 14th chapter now. This has been a challenge to me all throughout this week. 14th chapter of the book of Mark, beginning in the third verse. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. Alabaster is a type of stone. This wasn't in the time of single-use plastics that you go to the dollar store. This wasn't the dollar store kind of ointment either. This wasn't something that was cheap. It wasn't something that was easy to come by. It was something that was very precious. You know what makes something precious? A precious metal is something that you don't make a the beams of a skyrise building out of precious metal. It's far too expensive, far too precious, far too hard to come by. It's very valuable. This was something that was valuable. It was hard to come by. It was worth a lot of money. And she came in, and this vessel of stone in which it was preserved and kept. And it says that she came to Jesus and break the box. Now there's debate about whether this means she broke the seal of the container or whether she literally broke open the container. I can't say conclusively, but I do know that word in the Greek means a crushing to pieces. It was not something that was just a crack, something that was halfway. It was an irreversible process. She broke open this vessel. There was no putting it back in the vessel. There was no intention here that she was going to preserve the majority of it. She didn't come here with the thought and the idea that I'm going to take just a few little drops of this and I'm going to anoint the Lord with it. And then I'm going to seal it back and I'm going to take it home and I'm going to keep most of it for myself. That might have been thought in the minds of those who were there to be reasonable, because this is a really expensive ointment. Now, if I understand correctly, let's read here a little bit more. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of ointment made?" Notice it didn't say, "Why did she spend it this way, use it this way?" It was, they came to the ready conclusion. Now that was a waste. That was wasted ointment. They were indignant within themselves. What's wrong with her? How dare she? There could have been so many other uses of that ointment. If we look at here just in parallel, I believe this is telling of the same instance. It recounts a few different details of it, but in the 12th chapter of John, it says they made him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" He said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Waste or not? To Judas, who looked at this and who had concern for money, much more so than what he should have, looked at that and said, "She's wasting what she's got." But you know, to that woman and to Jesus, this was no waste. This wasn't something that Jesus commanded of her. By the very nature and idea throughout Scripture of a pouring out, it was a voluntary, willing act of giving something irreversibly unto the Lord. There was something in this woman whose heart compelled her by love, by thanksgiving for what the Lord had done for her, that she took, and to the comment I began a moment ago, it's my understanding that with this being 300 pence worth, that was about a year's wages. That's a lot of money. Maybe you could say it's no wonder that somebody would look at that and say, "You blew a year's wages in just a moment." You ever been to those fireworks shows the cities put on, municipalities, around the 4th of July? And in a matter of 15, 20 minutes, they might blow through $100,000 or more in fireworks. And if you've ever gone to the fireworks stand to try to put on your own little fireworks show, you can see how quickly it can add up. And it's blown in just a moment. Well, I don't care to spend my money like that, but if the city's going to spend it, I might as well enjoy it. In a moment. This couldn't be kept any longer. Preserved for future special life events of a marriage, or as was possibly the case from what Jesus said, for the burial of a loved one. This jar of ointment should have and could have been a large part of her inheritance to be treasured throughout her life. But she took that and in a moment lavished it on the Lord. Irreversibly. Without the thought of holding on to it, she didn't take that vessel and just again a few little drops and I'm holding the rest of it. But freely, willingly, she broke it and poured it all on the Lord. You know, it speaks to how I believe that we're called to serve the Lord today. We're not to serve the Lord with a minimalist mindset. I'm going to give the very minimal that I can. I want to know, is this sin or is it not? And if you can't prove conclusively to me that it's not, I'm not going to go any further than I have to go. You know, the scripture talks about in the New Testament what kind of giver that the Lord loves. If you look at the Old Testament to the New, there are so many transitions of things that in the Old Testament was a type of something to come and be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. One of those was the act of tithing. The Lord required a specific amount out of His people that they were to give and to tithe, a certain percentage, a certain share that they were to give to the Lord. But the New Testament, to be clear, does not teach the doctrine of tithing. But understand, what it does teach is that we are to give of our all to the Lord. It doesn't give a dismissal of the responsibility of giving to the Lord. That's not the idea of the New Testament. Okay, well, there's now no moral law that says I have to give 10% or 15% or whatever that percentage is, I'm free. No, what the Lord calls for now is that we serve the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord, I'm all yours. I'm going to give myself wholly to you. I don't want to live my life stingily before the Lord. And I'm not just talking about our money. That's to be the Lord's as well. But how do I spend not only my money, but my life? How do I spend my affections? How do I spend my time? Am I stingy with it? Do I spend it all on myself? You see, people looked at what this woman did and said, what a waste. You could have used that in so many other ways. And Judas, of course, he kind of wrapped it in a righteous wrapping paper. That was as thin as wrapping paper is. It could have been given to them. He didn't care about the poor. What a waste. Don't give everything that you've got like that. And you know, the world would tell us today, you don't have to give everything you got to the Lord. Come on, you're going too far now. You don't have to be radical about this thing. Just give sparingly. You know what? If you go to church every now and then, that's enough. If you go and if you join a church and you're a member of a church somewhere, that's enough. You know, as long as you have the idea and the thought of God in your mind, that's enough. Folks, the Lord is worthy of so much more of our lives. I don't want to approach the Lord living for the Lord stingily. Well, Lord, I guess if I have to. All right, I guess I got to give this time to the Lord. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord loves one who from the heart does as David did. Lord, I'm not worthy of my life and the blessings of life that you've given me. Lord, I want to turn around and give it back to you. You look at how the children of Israel gave to the Lord whenever he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Subsequently, in the building of the tabernacle, the call went out that we need all these different materials, and the people whose hearts stirred them up gave willingly unto the Lord of whatever they had. And the Lord, remember, he caused them to come up out of Egypt with a high hand. That the neighbors in Egypt gave them all kinds of goods. You know, the time came that there was a need and they gave it back willingly to the Lord. And David, I believe later with the building of the temple, said, Lord, of your own hand we've received these things. We're just giving back to you what you gave to us. My life, my time. You know, the Lord's the one that gave me my time. The Lord's the one that's given me this new day. The Lord's the one that's given me strength in this day. What's the real waste? To spend it on the Lord or to spend it all on myself? What was the real waste, Judas? 30 pieces of silver. Worth far less than this 300 pence. 30 pieces of silver, Judas, that you took and you ended up going and throwing it on the floor of the temple because you have remorse. There's the waste. There's the truth. What this woman did, Jesus said, it'll be remembered as a memorial throughout all generations. And here we are in 2026 talking about it yet again, what this woman did. A memorial, a reminder of how we should live our lives for the Lord. Not sparingly. He that sows sparingly, the scripture says, shall also reap sparingly. Let's not live our lives for the Lord sparingly. Let's not give ourselves to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to give you the bare minimum. I'm going to give you the leftovers. I want to remind you about here in the 12th chapter of Mark. Mark the 12th chapter, the 41st verse. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. It wasn't the amount that Jesus was impressed with. It wasn't the ability of the rich to be able to go and throw in a big amount of money that arguably could have made a bigger impact for the work of God and the upkeep of the temple and all of that. That's not what he was impressed with. But he looked upon a widow and realized that that's everything she has. And I'm not demanding of her or expecting of her any more than what she has and is able to give. You know, the Lord knows what every one of us is capable of. The Lord knows every one of us, where we're at, what we're capable of, what our understanding is. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. And he knows when we're giving everything and when we're not. He knows when we're holding back something for ourselves. This isn't about a bondage. I'm not suggesting to you that we're supposed to spend 18 hours out of the day reading Scripture, the Word of God. There's a balance to our lives. But you know, the Lord wants our heart to be, Lord, I want to give you everything. I don't want to live a life that holds back. Or I just give out of the abundance that I have. I've got more than I know what to do with. So Lord, here you go. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to go get a lottery ticket. And if I win, boy, I'm going to give big to the Lord. You know, I don't believe that's what the Lord's pleased with for a number of reasons. But I believe He's more impressed whenever out of my want, out of my need, I give to the Lord. Lord, it's not much, but I owe to You. Lord, I want to give to You. Again, not only in the giving of our money, but in the giving of our time, in the giving of our devotion, in the giving of our heart, our affections, our thoughts. How do I give to the Lord? Let's be like this woman. Remember the time that David had sinned and displeased the Lord. And there was, I believe, pestilence in the land as a result of it. And he went up to the threshing floor of Araunah, I believe was his name. And he said, I'd like to buy from you this threshing floor to make build an altar and make an offering unto the Lord and entreat Him on behalf of the land. And the man said unto the king, no, king, you don't have to pay me a thing for it. I want to give it to you as to the king. It's a gift. You remember what David said? Not so. I will not give to the Lord of that which costs me nothing. I'm not looking for a handout. I'm not looking to just give the Lord the cheapest and that which doesn't cost me anything. And that which I'm not going to miss this anyway if I give it up. You know, serving the Lord is going to involve self-denial. It's going to involve me putting the Lord ahead of myself every day. It's going to involve the decisions to say, I'm going to say no to self. And I'm going to say yes to the Lord. I'm going to give this to the Lord. And it's going to cost us. But I submit to you this morning, it's worth it. And the Lord is worthy of what we give of ourselves. What was it Jesus said in one place? There's no man that has given up houses and lands and all it, brethren, that won't gain many fold more. Folks, when we give to the Lord, when we open our hearts to the Lord, Lord, I mean this. I'm not in this to play church. I'm not in this to just be religious. Lord, I mean this with all my heart. I am so thankful for what You've done for me. I owe You everything. The rest of my life, I could never repay what You've done for me. The song says the debt that I owe could never be paid. But I want You to know, Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved. And I show that not only in my words, but in how I serve the Lord. And how I show up in serving the Lord and worship of the Lord. Not stingily of the heart, but willingly, freely giving myself to the Lord. Again, the Lord knows our capacity. The Lord's not going to require more out of me than what I know to give or I'm able to give. But He also knows whenever I could do more. Whenever I could serve Him with a fuller heart. Whenever I could put more of my heart into what I'm doing. And I'll just tell you, there have been times that I've realized, you know what, Lord, I really haven't been given everything to this. Yes, I wanted to serve the Lord and I wanted to do right, but Lord, bring me to a place that I realize, Lord, I really have not been sold out in the way that I've been giving myself to You here. Oh, God is our reasonable service. It is so reasonable to give ourselves. And while the world might say, what a waste. What a waste. You could do so much with your youth, with your vitality. There's so many things that you could enjoy in life. Go for it. And for me to say, you know what? There are some things that I'm going to give to the Lord. There are some things that this whole flesh might would want to do or enjoy that I'm going to say no for the sake of the One whom my soul loves. I say no. I give myself freely, willingly to the Lord. Not because my church teaches it. Not because they require it. But because I believe the Lord is pleased with it. So I give myself. Philippians, the second chapter, as we close. Consider one more person here, and the man that we've been studying about in Sunday school. Second chapter of Philippians in the 17th verse says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." This word, "if I be offered," is used to describe a drink offering, a pouring out of oneself. Didn't Paul do that? He poured out of himself over and over and over. And he said in one place, "I would most gladly therefore spend and be spent for you." You know what else he said? "Though the more I love you, the less I be loved of you." Wow. He wasn't doing it just for what he could get in return. He wasn't just doing it for his friends that have already done so much for him. "I'm repaying." No, it seems like the more I give of myself, the more you turn on me, the less you appreciate or love. But I'm not doing it for applause. I'm not doing it to please men. I'm doing this for the Lord. I most gladly, I do it again, to give of myself. You ever been hurt? You ever given of yourself and all that you get in return is to be turned on and hurt or betrayed? And I'll never want to do that again. I'm never going to let myself be hurt again. That's not what Paul said. "I will most gladly, therefore, I'll spend of myself. I'll give of myself. Even if you don't appreciate it. Even if you don't accept it. I'm doing this for the Lord and for your sakes." So he found joy and he found pleasure. And I find that as well in the service of the Lord. There is joy in the service of the Master. There is joy in serving the Lord. But if we want to find that joy that comes in serving the Lord, it's going to come by us giving ourselves willingly and freely to the Lord without abandon. I'd like to read the words of a song. I'll spare you trying to sing it. Not real familiar with leading it. One day a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room. Like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb. Broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus. My most precious treasure lavished on thee. Broken and spilled out and poured at your feet in sweet abandon. Let me be spilled out and used up for thee. Pray for me. Amen.